Reading from John 15, verses 1 to 70. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks, Jessie.
The challenge for me this morning is actually remembering everything. So I did make some notes. Because here, when you stand here, you just forget everything that you've got to say. Thank you, Jackie, for reading that. As Wayne said, we went on a retreat a couple of weeks ago, and he already got it wrong. That's actually why I wanted to speak this morning, because I knew he'd get everything wrong. The theme wasn't John 15. The theme was friendship with God. Thanks, Lynn. And a very large portion of what I'm going to share this morning is from what came to me at that retreat, which was just like, you know, there are some times when you just feel like God's just speaking right into your heart, and it's just words of life, and was one of those. So friendship with God, Lynn took quite a lot of the questions and the things for reflection from a book called Friendship with God by Trevor Hudson, and it's a little booklet, so if you want to study this topic further, that's the place to go. And of course, come on one of Lynn's retreats if you want a similar experience. So we heard about, in the scripture, John 15, we heard about being part of the vine, but I'm actually going to start with the opposite of the vine, with the branches that are thrown out and disconnected. And I'm going to talk about loneliness. And I'd like you to think while I'm talking about what makes you feel lonely? What makes you feel separate, thrown out, disconnected? Because we live in an age where those feelings are more prevalent than they've ever been. People are lonelier than they've ever been. And I think it was you quoted Mother Teresa who said it's the scourge of our society. And that was a very long time ago. And despite our ability to be so much more connected than we've ever been before, we've got these little phones that connect us to everything, the internet and each other and all over the world. We can travel loads of places. I mean, I'm still from the age where when we had to dial up on a modem, you heard the and you waited for the connection. These days, you're just online. So we're able to be so connected with each other, and yet we feel lonelier than we ever have before. And we have this, we found new ways to be lonely, I think. And on my reflections on loneliness, so this was the question Lynn asked us, how have you experienced the painful ache for intimacy, belonging, and friendship? So I want to just share a Taylor Swift moment with you, because we love Taylor Swift in our house. And actually, the other thing is, while we were on this retreat, I made a little playlist of songs. And this was one of the songs I'll end with. I mean, I'm not going to play it for you, but was one of the songs I put on my playlist, interestingly, because it really doesn't have much to do with the Vine and all the John 15 stuff. So it's about Taylor Swift and moles. In middle school, she says, my friends decided I was weird, and they didn't like my hair. They ditched me, and they talked behind my back, which is cool, I'm over it. One time I called them and said, hey, do you want to go to the Berkshire Mall? They all gave me excuses and said no. So I go to the mall with my mum, and don't you know, we ran into all of them, together, shopping. My mum could see I was about to cry. So she said, you know what? We're going to the King of Prussia Mall, which was the mecca of all malls. It was a long drive away, but her mum took her there. This is the verse of her song called The Best Day that refers to this moment. She says, I'm 13 now, and I don't know how my friends could be so mean. I come home crying, and you hold me tight and grab the keys. And we drive and drive until we found a town far enough away. And we talk and window shop till I've forgotten all their names. I don't know who I'm going to talk to now at school, but I know I'm laughing on the car ride home with you. Don't know how long it's going to take to feel okay, but I know I had the best day with you today. And I think that for me, what I wrote when I thought about that question, how have you experienced the painful ache for intimacy, belonging, and friendship? What I wrote about was feeling unseen and feeling invisible even in a crowd, and being part of a team but having no one listen to my input, and being part of a school group and not being chosen to even be in the team. Those parts of being excluded are the painful parts, actually. Being alone, I don't know, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not. If you've chosen to be alone, maybe you're fine with being alone. Maybe you're okay. It's quite, you like the feel of your own company. But when others don't see you, and they don't hear you, and they don't love you, that's when you feel really alone. And I think that's a bit of what Taylor experienced when she wrote those words. But in this scripture, John 15, Jesus calls us to this connection. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to repeat the first few verses, just from verse 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So Jesus calls us to be part of this vine. And a few weeks ago when Jackie shared with us, she said these magic words that I wrote down in my journal. God is far more concerned about our connections than our behavior, which is so true. He wants us to be connected with him first and connected with one another. And he's not concerned about the way we behaved as much as he is about that we are connected and we're in the vine. One of the other people on our conference, retreat, was Susan Snadden. And she shared about how a vine, of course she Googled it, of course, a vine needs full sun to grow. So your vine needs to experience the complete fullness of the sun, and it needs to be in the light. So therefore, the dead branch pruning actually exposes that vine to the sunlight, which is more connection and more growth. And one of the reflections that I was reading up in one of Wayne's books about was that the growth of things in the time that this Jesus was talking about being a vine, things that were commonly grown in and around the surrounds of Palestine, right? Was figs, olives, and vines. And vines were abundant. So you probably had one where you lived. And if you were poor, you were probably a vine dresser or a farmer, or you had exposure to a vine. You didn't own it, but you looked after it. And if you were wealthy, you also had vines. So everyone knew this analogy of the vine. We don't have them in our backyards today, but it felt like for them, when Jesus was talking about a vine, it felt like home, which is where I'm coming with this. I also wrote in my journal on that weekend, he hides me in the branches of the vine, entangled with him, that no one can see his start and my end, and then he makes me fruitful. And I just had such a picture of this being entangled with God and knowing that I'm part of this vine. He's connected me into this vine and made me at home, and that's where I'm going. So we talked about the connection into the vine, but the other thing that I want you to notice is how much that scripture, and another one that we're going to just read, is talking about being at home, because it was very much a part of the way of life of the people around Jesus. So we're going to move on to another scripture from Luke 19, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message about Zacchaeus. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damage." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." So Zacchaeus was a tax collector, another one of those untouchables, right? He's not who you invite to your parties. He's not the one that you first have, because if he comes, possibly everyone else will say no thanks. He went up a tree so as not to be seen by the crowd and so that he could see Jesus. Jesus called him down from the tree. Jesus looked up, the scripture says, he looked up into the tree and said, "Come down." Just like that, Jesus calls us out of that invisibility that we want. We want the comfort of those branches all surrounding us and nobody seeing us, but we can see what's going on. And Jesus says, "Come out of that place. I'm coming to your home." So what does home mean to you? What are some words that you associate with home? Anybody? What does home feel like? I'll give you another song that was on my playlist. Home, where my thoughts escape in. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Linda, what makes you think of home?
Comfort.
Cats. Joss, what makes you think of home? Safety. Jackie? Warmth. Laurie? Food. Nice. Lynn?
Love.
Anyone else? Alex, what makes you think of home? Love as well. It's the place where your Wi-Fi automatically connects and you don't have to sign on and everything's okay. I like that Homeward Bound that I quoted Simon and Garfunkel, where my love lies waiting silently for me. I especially relate to the silently, actually. I like the quiet as well of home. And the thing about Jesus, if we read verse 9 and 10 of that scripture in John again, I'll just find all my bits and pieces. He says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. And it struck me that this stuff about being connected and abiding with Jesus and being at home with him is a very easy thing. It's not too difficult for me. It's a call to come where God is and to bring God where you go at the end of every day. And even in that song, Homeward Bound, the pop star is, and I think he wrote it at this time of his life, where he was hankering after coming home. He was wanting that comfort, that warmth, that love of home, because it must be quite lonely if you've got to do all these concerts on the streets, and then you must long for home. And that's where God comes with us. He says, Zacchaeus, come out of the tree. I'm coming to your house. So now I'm going to play you a song that I just want you to listen to. Joss, can we get the words? There are words. Do I have to turn this on? So the words are just in case you want to see them, and we happen to have them, so that was easy. But you don't have. You can close your eyes if you want, because this is the song that God used just to call me to that place of being at home with him. Thank you. So Jesus is calling, and this is very much, it starts with you and God, right? So I was thinking about this back to the vine and being connected. And home is also a place where family is. And home is a place where you go to that's familiar and warm. But what struck me was, it only needs me and God to start that home. It doesn't need anyone else. Just me and God. And that connection is a place where others can be drawn in or not. It's enough just on its own. Because that place is where the home, our home with God, is the very first home, right? It's the place where he moves and he speaks and he's my friend. And that's the essence of all other connections and all other relationships. So one of the movies that came out just after our second daughter was born was Lilo and Stitch. So of course we watched copious amounts of Lilo and Stitch in our household. And the one quote about family is that we love. Ohana means family, and family means you never have to be, no one gets left alone, home alone, and no one gets forgotten. That's a famous quote from Lilo and Stitch. But Stitch also says, Stitch is a crazy little creature, for those of you who don't know Stitch. And Lilo is orphaned. She lives with her older sister. And they invite Stitch with all his destructive behavior. He's really it's like completely crazy and makes a mess of everything. And they invite him to be part of their home. And Stitch later says, this is my family. I found it all on my own. It is little and broken, but it's good. And it's such a beautiful story of just inclusion of otherness and inclusion of a creature that's not at all like Lila and her sister, and yet they make a little family. And I just had this sense back to the vine about this letting Jesus come to my home and live where I am and living and abiding with him so that from that, these other connections and growth and fruitfulness can happen. So moving on to this abiding, which is verse 11 to 18, I'm not going to read it because I think we're running out of time, but it was all about the love one another and put your life on the line for your friends, and you are my friends. And on the retreat, we thought about what being a friend is and what being friends with Jesus is like. We thought about asking Jesus to be our friend, and the shock of this, I realized that I'd never really thought about Jesus, asking Jesus to be my friend, and I know he is, right? So I've never invited him to be one. And then I thought, well, would I invite him to be my friend? You know, like, would I really want that? And it was like quite an uncomfortable thought to sit with. Like, yeah, because, you know, when you invite Jesus to be your friend, he comes and he changes things and he mixes it up quite a lot. And abiding with Jesus means he is going to change you. And he's going to change those around you. So are you up for that? That's what I was thinking about my friendship. So what Lynn asked us to do was she asked us to write a letter of application to Jesus to be a friend, which meant I had to confront all these feelings. This is where it gets quite personal. Sorry. And say, well, yeah, okay. I actually think I do want to be your friend, Jesus. It would be quite nice. And then if we felt it, we could also write what Jesus said back to us. So I want to read you what he said back to me because it's quite short, and I had a chuckle at it when I read it again. So it might make you laugh too, or it might not. See if I can find it. Dear Bev, says Jesus, I see you up in the tree like Zacchaeus. I know how hard you've been holding on and how well hidden you've been. You may fool the others, but not me. The thing is, I'm coming to your house today, ready or not, because I like friendship that is authentic, real, and lived, not just words on a page. Hurry down, You probably don't want me to get there before you. There are years of stuff we need to catch up on. We also have lots to do, and I'd love to meet your friends too. Invite them all over. Love, Jesus. And I think that what I'm saying about this abiding is that we really do need to be ready to let Jesus come and mess a little with our lives and change things. And maybe to welcome the little creatures and the little people around us that maybe we wouldn't have seen and we wouldn't have touched and we wouldn't have reached out to on our own. I'm just going to have a little aside here at this stage, because Wayne really did want to share about this abiding, that there are lots of different ways that we can encounter God on a daily basis. And on the ride, we have discovered quite a few nice little apps that you can just download on your phone and connect with God. So the one, we'll share it on the group after the service, is called Pray As You Go. Lynn actually shared with us last year. I don't know if anyone else has any others, but Jenny, you had one called Our Daily Bread as well, which we'll also share. And what these apps do is they just read, they have the Pray As You Go, which I enjoy, has a song which just welcomes you into God's presence. Then it has a scripture, and they read the scripture usually twice. And they just have some reflection questions for you to think about, and ends with a prayer. It's no more than 10 minutes, completely free, and you do it when you remember to do it, which is most days. A Daily Bread is even shorter. It's also got a scripture, and it's also actually got a little explanation or a little story that enhances the scripture. So we can use this technology and these ways to just make sure that we talk to Jesus and encounter him on a daily basis. And then my last question for all of you is that if we get this family that starts with us in a home with Jesus coming to our house, if we get this and we start to embrace it and live it, then who are you going to invite over to be with you in Jesus? And it strikes me that given who Jesus is, that he would quite like it if we reached out to the untouched, the untouchable, the unloved, the lonely, the unseen, and the unheard. And perhaps if we listened closely, he'd show us how to see those people and to connect with them, because he really does desire for us all to be part of this organic, growing, fruitful experience of being one with him and one with one another.